afternoon, Paul. Just what can you tell us about the combinations and the process of putting them together and what you hope to see out of them?
Well, we didn't want to disrupt the combinations that were having some success with just really one player coming into your lineup. So we left Mark Scheifele with Kopp and Ehlers and Lowry with Perreault and Appleton, because they, you know, produced and played well, and there's lots of good there. And then it's about balance. So we've felt it's easier in the starting point to leave everybody in their natural position and give opportunity to, you know, Trevor Lewis and Vesalainen to play with, you know, a different style of players maybe than they have been playing with, because they've worked hard and they look good in their games. And then there's balance. So we've got four lines that we should be able to play and spread minutes around. And maybe that concept, get that solidified in your bench, so they, you know, run short shifts, run at a high level to prep us for, you know, a March to the third week in April that will be the busiest, the most hockey that any of these guys have ever seen.
We'll go next to Mike McIntyre from the Winnipeg Free Press. Go ahead, Mike.
Thanks, Gregor. Thanks, Paul. Paul, when we just spoke a few minutes ago with Pierre-Luc Dubois, a big smile came over his face as I asked him to kind of run down the depth up the middle on this team. I'm guessing you had a similar reaction when you looked at your lineup options here. You have a number of guys who also can play center that, you know, Andrew Kopp, Jansen Harkins, Nate Thompson, David Gustafson. Just what's the importance, I guess, of having that kind of depth up the middle right now?
Yeah, I mean, you're in such a difficult situation when you get to the point that you're putting a winger at center who doesn't have a whole lot of experience. So we have now a depth at center that we've never had. We are going to eventually going to have to move some centermen out to the wings, and that is a far easier transition than coming from the wing to the middle. And it drives the line. So we've got some good size down the middle now as well, and really should help us, we feel, defensively. So we're lucky, you know. I mean, being able to add a centerman like Pierre-Luc, just such a rare thing to be able to do, especially someone that young, but who's also had a big chunk of his development time handled already. So we've got ourselves to a real good depth situation at center ice, and then now we have to maximize it.
We'll go next to Brian Munns from TSN 1290. Go ahead, Munsey.
Coach, can you give us an update on the status going into this week for Harkins, Thompson, and Pullman for you?
Yeah, I think Pullman's close. It'll be conditioning now. So he was in a regular sweater out there today, did a normal full practice. So he's close. The other two were staggering a little bit, hard days to off days. So both of those guys had been on the ice. And Thompson is ahead of Harkins in that department in terms of health. They're still listed, I guess, as, you know, maybe beyond, slightly beyond day to day. I think that Thompson will be available possibly for the Ottawa series. Hark, I'm less sure of where he's going to be at.
We'll go next to Ted Wyman from the Winnipeg Sun. Go ahead, Ted.
Hey, Paul, I guess you got your first chance to see Pierre-Luc on the ice yesterday, and then, of course, today with the full team. How is his conditioning and everything coming out of that two-week layoff?
I think fine. He would give you a better handle on that. He handled practice without a problem. So that you wouldn't have been able to come to the rink and pick the guy that's been in quarantine for 2 weeks out. He pushed himself, I think, as much as he could when he was off the ice. And I think he'll just get stronger and faster. But he looked right on the ice. I haven't seen him. I haven't been on the ice in practice with the man, but I've watched him play certainly enough of his NHL career that, yeah, I mean, there wasn't a noticeable drop off from what I'd seen on video.
We'll go next to Sarah Orleski from TSN. Go ahead, Sarah.
Well, you had Pierre-Luc skating with the second power play unit. Well, what are you hoping that maybe he can bring to that group?
It's just some finish, right? And some hands. We'd like to have two units that we have equal confidence in. They worked well today. Like, there's he and Nicky on the flanks, move the puck, they'll shoot the puck. There's it's just a, it's an upgraded skill level, perhaps. Going to get beat up in the hallway by Lowry and Kopp because one of those two guys will rotate off the power play. But power play is a place that Pierre-Luc is going to make a home for himself. And then we'll just watch, right? We'll run both units. And if we get to a point where switching between the units, it's just another great option. You got another centerman that can take faceoffs now. So if we get thrown out of the faceoff circle, we still got a good chance of winning it. So it's a good thing for us.
And we'll go next to Sean Reynolds from Sportsnet. Go ahead, Sean.
Hi, Paul. You said in one of your earlier answers, the team's got to itself where it's got a real good depth situation at center ice. Can you give your thoughts or describe the way you think Chevy's done his job to get you to a place like this as quickly as he has since the offseason?
Yeah, you know what? The first thing that you'll notice when you step on the ice, and it's a function of Logan Stanley coming in and playing for us this year, and Vessel Linen's play this year, is, man, we draft well here, right? Like, not every player is going to develop to be an NHLer, but boy, we've had an awfully long run of draft picks come in, and it's not just the first round picks. It's Connor Hellebuck in his hole and the Andrew Copps of the world. Man, they've done a great job. And that Patrick Laine trade is so tricky to do. The one thing that you could do to make it right is to get a centerman, right? That's the one way that you could have a goal scorer leave your team, and he's going to score an awful lot of goals. But when you can bring in a centerman, you've put your team in a really good shape for an awfully long time. So tricky situations that he's had to deal with here. But, you know, the general manager should take credit as well for the amateur department. Our amateur scouting department has done an unbelievable job year over year. And I've talked about this, you know, from my first experience standing on the ice when development camp the first year, see all these young players, and you don't know if they're going to play in the NHL. I mean, you just don't. You don't know how the changes that happen to those young men at that age is drastic. But you know why they were drafted. You can understand what the scouts saw, and that has been the thing that I think I've been maybe most impressed with. I know I've been here a while, but I still feel like I'm brand new here. Our amateur team just does a bang-up job drafting players.
We'll go next to Scott Billick from the Winnipeg Sun. Go ahead, Scott.
Thanks, Gregor. Hey, Paul. Just wondering, in a previous answer, you kind of touched on balancing. You have four lines now, trying to balance those minutes. With no real clear-cut fourth line, I mean, every line seems to have the ability to score or play defense now. How do you balance that? So, you know, the fourth line's not getting 4 or 5 minutes a night and getting kind of more of, you know, what they would, I suppose, deserve, for lack of better
term. Right. There's a real challenge that's going to come here with this, and that's the minutes got to get to the, you know, the top end's got to go to 17 and the bottom end's got to come up to 13, 14. So there's got to be, that has to be accepted by the players. And I'm also aware that I'm not sure that you can run that the whole year, but I think in this specific situation, in the number of games that we're going to face, the first thing I want to get right with the group is getting them to understand there are other good players on the bench. And that will build the team, right? That we're going to put good players on the ice every time you roll a shift over the bench, so you understand to get on and off the ice. And if it's done right, then you can play at a higher level on every shift. And I think, gosh, you just take a look at that schedule that we got coming in when we get into March. It's tough. And then by the second week, March, I think, to the third week in April, I've you know, we got 4 games most week. Our easy nights have three games in a week. We're just going to have the minutes right on that. So it's a little bit of a prep time right now. This isn't something that we put into place that I'm going to say we're going to run for 3 weeks. Might last 2 games, might last 3 games. But I want to get a look at these guys. I've got a pretty good handle on the pairings. I know what Kopp and Scheif look like, what Stastny and Wheeler look like. Clearly, I think there's something going on with Lowry and Appleton. They're they've got a chemistry developing now. And then I'm looking at Kyle Connor and Pierre Luc. So we'll take a look at those, see if there's enough there. For the longer we can run this, I think the better. And we may run it for a while and then come back to it in March. That might be an idea for us. Just it's to get to know what some of these pairs look like, and then we'll kind of branch out from there.
Just a couple more. We'll go to Kelly Moore from CJOB. Go ahead, Kelly.
Hey, Paul. You were just going through your pairs, and if I could just alter one of them, you said Kyle and Pierre Luc, but I'm going to switch that to Pierre Luc and Trevor. Now you have righty-lefty guys that can take draws on all four of those lines. Will we maybe see some scenarios where you'd have the winger come in because it's on his strong side and sure. see that as an advantage to try to prop up those face-off percentages as well?
Sure, sure. I mean, and you're seeing that with Kopp and Scheif already, right? Andrew takes all the left-side draws, which is great actually in the defensive zone because sometimes you'll want a match of Scheif against the other team's best offensive line, but that centerman... if he's a righty, that puts Scheif on his weak side in the D zone. So that it makes run on the bench a whole lot better. I think your centerman can get a little more aggressive knowing they've got a guy to come in and take face offs if they get kicked out. So it's a nice, that's a luxury. That's something that you don't get caught then having to put a left-handed centerman or a left-handed centerman driven line in a matchup that you don't like because of where the faceoff is, it should allow you to run your bench in a more smooth manner, if that makes any sense.
And final question to Jeff Hamilton from the Free Press. Go ahead, Jeff.
Hey, Paul, speaking of luxuries, and just to kind of go off of what you've been talking about with distributing minutes through your forwards, when you look at this group of forwards you have now, four lines, are you finally at a position right now where, especially in a season like this with the truncated season, in a position where you can let play dictate minutes?
Yeah, I think what you're talking about is, and it's not necessarily a negative. Sometimes it's just the matchup that night that you like the way your team's playing. But you've got, let's say, one of their lines is just possibly slightly outplaying one of your lines. The first thing you do is cut that line back a little bit. And I think the way I'm viewing this is, And we may eventually get back to this, but one of the challenges that we had here, the structure needed to be where it was with that Lowry dominant checking line coming out kind of first to second, because it let me hide these kids, right? It let me, you know, we're still trying to win games, but I put young players kind of in the three hole. They're producing numbers because they have a skill set that's slightly better maybe than the other team's third line, but you can't really run them against the top two. The problem with having like top six guys are all offense. When one of those guys is having an off night, there's really no place to put them, right? Because you can't run them. You're not going to take, and I'll take Kyle Connor for an example, because he's been such a great performer for us. If Kyle's having a really bad night, I wasn't going to drop him down to the Lowry line because they had a specific checking role. And that's, if he's having a bad night, you don't want him there. And he's played well enough that you don't want to drop him to your fourth line either, because there's no minutes there. You're like, you're not looking to punish the kid because it's not going well. So you were kind of stuck in those, the six guys, regardless of how they're playing, kind of got to play, right? I would roll them off the bench differently. Now you can just change the order of how they're coming off the bench, and that will either change the matchup. And if you're looking to send a message, you can do it that way as well. Although I never really liked that phrase because it kind of implies that you're not directly telling the person, you're sending a message a different way. I just tell the player he's not playing any good, but it'll allow you to take a player like Trevor Lewis, who's spent most of his career on the fourth line, let him play his own game like that. But now he moves up in the rotation, and those guys then, you know, get a way better feeling of being part of the team.
Thanks very much, Coach.
Okay.